Welcome back to Simple Science. I'm your host, Andrea, and on this edition of our weekly podcast, we'll be discussing the ins and outs of Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia. It is a serious loss of cognitive function, which defines how you perceive and understand things, and it's been known to affect one's memory, attention, emotions, language, reasoning, and problem-solving skills. It is an incurable disease that is known to gradually deteriorate mental function and cause death. Dr. Cheryl Wellington, a lead scientist at the Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine in Vancouver, will discuss what is known about the disease, how it works, and what you can do to minimize your own risk of getting Alzheimer's.
Right now, it affects at least half of the people over 85 years of age, but it's not part of normal aging. You shouldn't get this disease, but a good portion of our North American population does.
From a scientific point of view, Alzheimer's disease is caused by an accumulation of misfolded proteins in the brain. Generally, proteins have two major roles in the human body. The first is to make up our flesh and tissue, and that's what puts together our arms and our legs and our organs. And the second is to regulate basic functions such as digesting food or healing wounds.
What we know that happens in the brains of people with Alzheimer's disease is that they start to accumulate these plaques that you mentioned, and these plaques are made up of a peptide called A-beta that's very sticky. It's like Velcro. When it sticks to itself and then just adds and adds and adds and grows and then deposits, sprinkling throughout the brain and also in the blood vessels. Then what happens later is that they affect the ability of the neurons, which are the cells in the brain that actually are responsible for communication, to function. So the highways within the neurons that mediate signal transduction and transport of molecules from one end of the cell to the other becomes disrupted.
To really solidify this idea, imagine that these tangles are like the dust and the cobwebs that build up in your attic. When you're young, you're able to clear this dirt quickly and easily in order to see what is across the room. But as you get older, it takes a longer time to clear up the dust and the cobwebs, which makes it harder to see. The same idea applies to our memory.
What happens in Alzheimer's disease is the memory goes first. Typically, it's the short-term memory. So, for example, you might forget where you parked your car, if you turned off the kettle, but you can remember things that happened in your childhood. And then later on in disease, then even the older memories start to go.
Currently, there is a very large unmet medical need to alleviate the effects of Alzheimer's.
We have no drugs that are on the market that can actually stop the disease cold. Everything that exists so far for treatment might buy a few months of protection, but then the disease keeps on going.
As for existing research,
it's one of the most researched diseases. So there's like, you name it, there's people investigating how to fix Alzheimer's disease. But I think the biggest gap that we have right now are in our ability to bring something from the research bench into the clinic is what you need is proof in a series of clinical trials that the Food and Drug Administration then will require that, okay, this drug works, it's safe, here's the dose, here's how it's used. All those questions need to be answered before something is marketed.
Although the time frame for the process of going through all the stages of accepting a drug and getting it into clinical use is unpredictable, how it will affect people on both an individual level and on a societal level is enormous.
Of course, it would make those people's quality of life a lot better. It would really help their families because there's a lot of burden of care of looking after people with Alzheimer's disease. Eventually, it would reduce the economic impact Alzheimer's disease has on our society. Even more large from that perspective is that the more we know about how this pathway works and how it is integrated with the rest of the body, we might be able to offer, like the exercise, for example, ways in which people could start changing their lifestyle.
It's true that eating right, exercising, and taking care of yourself isn't rocket science, but the take-home point is that it doesn't come down to just maintaining exercise once you're into your retirement years.
One of the best things that I always tell people that they can do to protect, like to minimize the risk of developing Alzheimer's later in life, is to really keep in shape. One of the key points in a person's life to maintain physical fitness is in your midlife years, so like 40s and 50s. And that tends to be challenging for a lot of people. I mean, you've got jobs, you've got kids, you've got aging parents. But that's probably one of the most critical times when the roots of Alzheimer's really begin to start developing in the brain.
So there you have it. Even though scientists are making great strides in finding a drug to alleviate all the effects of Alzheimer's disease, there is still a long way to go. And although you might not think they're related, exercise will help you decrease those plaques as well. So remember to exercise daily. Whether it's a quick jog with your kids before their soccer practice or an after-dinner stroll, every bit helps fight Alzheimer's. And a special thank you to Torture Supersonic for our Simple Science theme song, Spaghiari 4, and Doberide for our Velcro sound. Also, thank you guys for listening, and tune in next week for more Simple Science, where we'll discuss the dangers of feeding your dog chocolate. Is it science fact or science fiction?